Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. Well, the Lord was leading me to share a few passages found in the Epistle of James. We're going to be looking at a few verses found in the first chapter. And I'll begin by reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And verse 16 says, Do not err, my beloved brethren. Beloved, he's saying, don't err, don't make mistakes, don't be deceived. And there's a peril in self-deception. I remember I used to say, I would pray, God, don't let me be deceived, because one of the rather frightening things about self-deception is that you don't know you're deceived. Isn't that right? And so we must allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead and guide us into truth. That is what one of His responsibilities, one of His tasks, one of His joys is. He is revealing Jesus in our lives, in our hearts. He's showing us the ways of the Lord, God's principles, spiritual dynamics in operation. So we're going to look at that. The words that we've just shared, the words of those first four verses, the text is for this broadcast, don't err, my beloved brethren. And so the words of our text, don't err, beloved brethren, can refer to the thoughts presented in the four preceding four verses that I shared with you, or they can point forward to the challenge of verse 17. And we'll be looking at that a little bit later. But what we want to concentrate on right now is to see that James is giving us a warning against the peril of self-deception. James was dealing, was he not, with the problem of temptation and our tendency to yield to temptation. And this is certainly not just a problem to those he was writing to, but it's a continuing problem in all of our lives. And we will never find in this life a place of complete immunity from temptation. And this should concern us, particularly when we face the fact that we can be so easily deceived. The Word tells us in Proverbs 12:15, the wise man said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And he also said in chapter 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Most of us can rationalize ourselves into believing that everything we do is permissible under the circumstances. But Paul warned the Galatians, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's Galatians 6 and 7. Are you aware, beloved, of the peril of deception in your own life? Beloved, it's of tremendous importance for you, for all of us, as well as others that you care about, that we will not be in error at this point. What are some of the things human nature does? Well, some blame God for everything. Have you known people like that? Or perhaps if you've been guilty of it yourself? As strange as it may seem, some people blame even God for their sins. Adam was guilty of this. Think about that, for he charged that if it had not been for the woman whom God had given to him, he wouldn't have partaken of the forbidden fruit. And there are some who blame God for all tragedies. In blind resignation, they say, oh, it's the will of God. And to assume this attitude is to do great harm to one's conception of the character and very nature of God. At the point of man's being tempted, James makes two conclusive statements. He said in James 1:13, God tempts no man to sin. Now, as we read Scripture, we can certainly see God testing men to see what's in their heart, to bring out the good. But God never brings any kind of pressure upon a man to encourage him to yield to evil. That's totally against his nature and against his character. And then James said also in James 1:13, God cannot be tempted with evil. God does not respond to temptation as man does. There is no way by which God can be lured into evil. He is perfection. He is all good. And no one should ever blame God for the evil that is in his own life or in the life of others. Do not err, my beloved brethren, at the point of blaming God for your yielding to sin. So some blame God for everything, and some blame others for their failures. Have you known people like that? Or I guess if we're really honest, there's times in our lives we've done that. Some, of course, you know, we want to find excuses. We just don't want to take responsibility, do we? So some blame their background, their heredity. They believe their father or their mother or their ancestors or upbringing are responsible for the situation in which they find themselves. And some, of course, will blame their environment. They believe that the pressures of an evil society are responsible for their failures because they didn't get the breaks because of circumstances. They just blame, you know, the things around them. And, of course, some blame evil companions, although there is a saying that birds of a feather flock together. And some blame the devil for their sins and failures. And of course, you know, the devil maybe do it. There can be no question that Satan seeks to tempt and to destroy. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So there's no question we have an adversary, and his purpose is to steal, kill, lie, and destroy. But to blame either God or others is not to solve the problems which we as individuals face in the matter of dealing with our own sins. Each one of us is responsible for our own sin. James tells us when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. And of course, that can be different for every person. The devil is very subtle. He's very wily. He knows the things that would, where you're going to be weak, where you will find it difficult to resist temptation and fall into sin. He knows us very well. The devil's been around since the inception and since the birth of mankind, since Adam and Eve. He knows the things that are common to all of mankind. And he also knows the specific things that are going to get you or get me. And yet, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful because God has given us a means to escape. He's given us his word. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying we're responsible for our own sin when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. To listen And to tarry in the time of temptation is to yield. Now, it's not a sin to be tested or tempted. Even Jesus was. Remember, he had gone on that 40-day fast, and he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, but didn't sin. He resisted the devil, his temptations. He could have avoided the suffering, what was in the death, all that was before him, if he would have yielded. But he said, "Devil, it is written, get behind me." And he quoted God's word. And it's really nothing but evil desire within us that leads us to sin. Just as hunger motivates a fish to swallow a bait on the hook, whatever it is, we're lured into something that we think is going to satisfy, give us pleasure, or whatever. And when evil thoughts are permitted to dwell in the mind, they stimulate destructive, sinful appetites. So, what can we say in conclusion? If we're going to deal adequately with the perennial problem of temptation and with our tendency to yield, we must face up to our personal responsibility. We need to admit our responsibility for past failures, sins, and shortcomings, and we have to understand and realize we'll never solve the problem as long as we try to place the blame on someone else. However, we can rejoice in the assurance that sincere confession before the Lord can bring cleansing to the heart and to the conscience. We need to consecrate ourselves continually to God's good will. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In the few moments that remain, I just feel to take a moment to pray so that we would be safeguarded through the power of the Holy Spirit against the yielding to temptation. Father, I pray for everyone who is listening. Lord, you know the enemy knows our weaknesses, but Lord, we come to you and cast ourselves upon you, knowing, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, and with every testing and every temptation, you make a way of escape. And so, Father, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give sufficient grace, you will give power to resist temptation, even as Jesus did, and to overcome. Yes, Lord, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. And beloved, if there is particular areas that you know you're weak, that you know you need God's strength, there's power in agreeing prayer. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. And tomorrow we're going to continue on with the good advice that James is giving. We'll pick up on verse 17. I invite you to join me. And if at any time you miss a broadcast or would like to rehear one, please feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. I love you and thank you for joining me and for your prayers. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.